Each year on this fourth Sunday of Easter, the gospel comes from John chapter 10. That section that's known as the Good Shepherd Discourse. And each of the 3 years of the cycle, we have a different part of John chapter 10. And so it's commonly referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday. And along with that, it's the World Day of Prayer for Vocations. And so we are asked to pray for vocations. And so in one way, we pray for all vocations. And we have holy sacramental marriages that are radically open to life. That many of our young people will hear the call to the consecrated life and live a life of service, of chastity, poverty, and obedience. And that many young men, and maybe not so young men, will hear the call to the priesthood. Some married men serving as permanent deacons. So we pray for all the vocations to flourish in the church, to be beacons of light to the world. But in light of Good Shepherd Sunday, maybe we can focus our prayer on the priesthood. A priesthood that is lacking, that we're in a crisis, even in our own diocese. There are many needs that are not being met because we don't have enough priests. And we don't have enough priests because not enough men are saying yes to the call. You know, Jesus established the church, and to the church he gave the sacraments, and it's through the sacraments that we receive grace, and it's that grace that allows us to go to heaven, as that opening prayer said, that we follow our shepherd to the joys of the heavenly kingdom, and the only way to go to heaven is to be in this state of grace. The only way to receive grace is through the sacraments. The sacraments are found in the church, administered by the priests and deacons. So there's no way that Jesus is not calling men to the priesthood. He set up his system this way. So if we don't have enough priests, maybe some of us are not listening well to the call placed upon our heart. Maybe some of our families are not encouraging us to listen to the call to the priesthood. And so we pray and we fast that more men will hear the call to model their life after the heart of the Good Shepherd, to help lead the flock to the joys of heaven. And so we pray for that today. We pray for that grace to truly believe in the absolute necessity for grace, to be saved by grace through the person of Jesus Christ. To be as confident, as bold, as St. Peter is, as was described in our first reading. That he is in some way in custody. They've placed him in jail of some sort because of his preaching the name of Jesus. That he and John had just proclaimed the name of Jesus over this man who was crippled. The man began to walk and to dance around, and the authorities weren't happy, and so they put Peter and John in jail. And then they go to their trial. They go before the judge. And we have what in the first reading what Peter said. The man that you put to death, the man that raised from the dead, that man, Jesus Christ, is the reason why this man is walking. The man that you rejected, who's become the cornerstone. And it's in that name and that person of Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Under no other name can we be saved than under and in the name of Jesus Christ. This was the bold proclamation of the early church, and it's the truth even today. So do we have the conviction? Do we have the boldness in our proclamation to clearly proclaim the name of Jesus to anyone and to everyone? That your life makes no sense unless you're proclaiming the name of Jesus. There are lots of other options in the world. And sadly, the Christian church has been suffering this fraction for the last 500 years because of the Protestant Revolution seeking to destroy and to scatter the sheep, that we think that we can choose what's most comfortable for us. We think that we have many options, like we go to Baskin Robbins, and as long as we get an ice cream, everybody's happy. So I can go to this faith tradition or that faith tradition. I like the way that they do things here. My kids are more entertained there. The better preaching is there. The better music is there. It fits my schedule better over there. But it's all the same, right? No big deal. But it's only in the person of Jesus Christ. And as Jesus said in the gospel, it's only in his church. There's one church. We're about to say that in the creed. I believe in one holy Catholic apostolic church. Jesus established this system. It's fitting for us to believe that this is the way, the mind and the heart of Jesus. That God became man. And through the entirety of his life and through the suffering, death, and resurrection, he's shown us the way to heaven. And while he was on earth, he called Peter to himself and told Peter that he was going to build the church on him. And through that church, the grace is dispensed through the sacraments. And we receive that grace primarily, firstly, through the sacrament of baptism. And baptism radically reorientates our bodies, our minds, our lives. So that what St. John said in that second reading, see what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we are called children of God, for so indeed we are. I mean, we hear it all the time, but that's a radical statement. That we can be called children of God. For so indeed we are. Not just a label, but we really are children of God because of the waters of baptism. And what we will become has not yet been revealed. The fullness of revelation about what it means to be a disciple, to be a child of God, has not yet been revealed. But in between there, St. John says, the reason the world doesn't know us is because the world doesn't know Jesus. But I wonder if we really believe that the waters of baptism radically transform our lives, that we would realize that we're not supposed to be like this world, that this world shouldn't recognize us. We shouldn't fit in with this world. And so how many of us live for the affirmation of this world, to get ahead and to get along with this world? Or do we live for that other world? We are called children of God, for so indeed we are. And what Jesus is by his very nature, we become by grace, we become God's. This is the clear teaching of the early church, this divinization of man, that we're not meant just for this horizontal existence. But when the life of God is given to us, is restored to us through the sacrament of baptism, and restored in confession, and nourished and thrived through the Eucharist, that we are radically transformed into God. We are divinized. We become like God. This is your destiny. Why would we ever settle for anything else? When we really understand this, when we really believe this, when we really live as though this is true, then those other sheep that belong to other flocks that must follow Jesus, then our lives, our collective life, will be a witness to the world that this is where we come. That there is no salvation other than the name of Jesus Christ. Again, there are lots of other options out there that will lie to you and tell you that you can make your way that way, that you can follow them and live your best life now, become the best version of yourself. Has nothing to do with the cross and self-denial. and imitating Jesus Christ. It's a very flat, horizontal, successful life in this world. That's not the life of a disciple. It is only through Jesus Christ. To imitate and model our life after him. Pope Benedict said there are as many ways to Jesus Christ as there are people in the world. So your path might look different, but you can't get to heaven without Jesus. There's just simply no other way. And it's only in Jesus. The church in recent years have tried to help us understand what salvation is like, what justification is like for those who are outside the physical structures of the Catholic Church. So we understand, we hope that there's some possibility, but we know that God, in his infinite wisdom, has established the church and the sacraments and the priesthood to help you become a saint. This was the bold conviction of the early church. And of all the saints throughout the ages, do we share that conviction? We prayed for the grace to follow Jesus to heaven. In that Good Shepherd discourse, he talks about the other voices, the wolves who come to destroy, to lie, to murder. How often do we listen to the other voices? How often does the voice of God in our own heart become distorted, become unfamiliar, because we surround ourselves with other voices that lie to us about who we are, about what we're called to be? On this Good Shepherd Sunday, let's recommit and pray for the grace, for the unwavering faith, and the unicity of Jesus Christ, that there is no other way, and I must radically conform my life after him. And through him, I should radically be a member of his one church and be working and praying and fasting that everyone come to know the name of Jesus as is made known in the Roman Catholic Church. This is the will of the Father. It can be kind of controversial to say that, but it's the truth. And it should break our heart that we tolerate division, that we're okay with being okay. There is one God, there is one faith, one baptism, one church, and we're each invited to a wonderfully joy-filled life. Live in conformity with that one God, Jesus Christ. Peter was in jail. Peter went to his death proclaiming the name of Jesus. I imagine that won't be the end for each of us. But you'll have a chance today to die to yourself so that you can live for Jesus. To let your life be a proclamation of the saving message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have the desire? Do you have the courage? Christ is inviting us to die to ourselves so that we can live for him. And when we live for him, we can be certain that we'll live forever with him. This is the promise of the gospel. This is the invitation for each one of us. Do we believe? And will we say yes?